You're listening to Teach Me the Bible podcast. Our mission is to help the people of God understand the Word of God. Join us each Monday and Thursday for new episode releases. Listen to our full library of content at teachmethebible.com or by downloading the Teach Me the Bible app from any app store. You're listening to Teach Me the Bible podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to our Genesis series. If you are new with us today, we're picking up in chapter 12. And so there's a lot of story that's happened before this. And so just always want to encourage you to go back to the beginning. One of the things that we're emphasizing in all of the story of the Bible is that it's a story. And it starts at the beginning, and all the details that we're introduced to throughout, they kind of snowball. They become more and more important throughout the story. And so it's really difficult to understand what's going on unless you've understood what's come before. And we've just seen all these nations develop, right? Coming out of Babel, mm-hmm. The Lord has confused their languages. They've filled the earth, which is at least part of the plan. But they're not image bearers, as we've been saying. The nation is filled with people, but they're doing what's good and right in their own eyes. They're trying to make their own name great. But we're picking up on this genealogy that started in chapter 5, really. And we're going to pick up with Abram. And he's going to become another nation that's a little bit different from these other ones. And so we're going to kind of pick it up and detail some of that out.
Yeah, and so chapter 12 just continues the story. They translate it now. It's really not now. It's just what we call a preter, just a continuation of the story. The story's just rolling along. And the Lord said to Abram, Avram, of his father, exalted father, go forth from your country or walk. There's your walk. Walk from your land. They translate it from your country, but from your land and from those who begot you. That's the word that we've been tracking through here. This Yella genealogy language,
Right. And that walk language comes from Enoch, Noah. Right. They walked with the Lord, yep. Right? Would you connect it there?
Yep, absolutely. Yep. And because in verse 4, then Abram walked according to the word of the Lord, walked as the Lord spoke to him, or something like that. And so walk from your land and from those who begot you from your father's house to a land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. And so, what you have to have a nation. I mean, one person doesn't make a nation. Mm-hmm. So you have to have many people. You have to have a multiplication of seed. Mm-hmm. You have to have land, and you have to have some form of government to have a nation. And so we're going to watch those things develop in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua. Mm-hmm. And really, this 12, 1 through 3, I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's the rest of the story of the Bible, right? Yeah. And so by the time we get out to Revelation 21 and 22, this plan, these words have found their fulfillment. Mm-hmm. I will bless you. And of course, we probably need to clarify what's going on here, because there's going to be actually two definitions of blessing in this story. One is going to be the blessing which comes from the Lord as he restores all that was lost at the fall. The other is, going to focus on, health and wealth now, cash now, stuff now. And those are going to be competing definitions. Mm-hmm. And we'll explain that as we get further into this and into the covenant, into Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy. I will make your name great. And man's been trying to make his own name great. Now the Lord says that the Lord will make Abram's name great. In fact, his name's going to be changed from exalted father, Avram, mm-hmm. to father of many peoples, Avrah, many people. Mm-hmm. And you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I will curse. Now, why, what does it mean to bless Abram? And this is going to play out in the story. It's not just sending cash to Abram or giving cash to Abram. In fact, if that was the point, then, you know, later in this chapter, Pharaoh's going to give Abram a bunch of stuff. He's going to give him sheep and oxen and donkeys and male and female servants. And the Lord's going to respond to that by striking Pharaoh. Right? So it can't be given, you know, Abram's stuff isn't the blessing. Mm-hmm. So what is it? Well, that's the plot, right? That's why you have to know the plot. See, what we're tracking here is this promised seed. And it's not that you're aligning yourself with Abram in particular. You're aligning yourself with the promise to Abram. Mm-hmm. And so by the time we get out to Numbers chapter 24, there's this prophet who has been hired by a king. It's Balaam who's been hired by Balak, and the king Balak wants Balaam to curse Israel, and the Lord is determined to bless him. And the reason is because there's a shout of a king in the camp. And your text refers back to this passage. I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you I will curse. Talking about the king that's coming forth out of this nation from the tribe of Judah, which is a quote out of chapter 49. And so, again, this is just a plot that's continuing. Yeah. And so
you've either aligned yourself with the seed of the woman, or
you've aligned yourself with the desire of the woman.
The desire of the woman.
For the promised one to come and rule. Uh-huh. Or you're going to align yourself with the desire of the serpent, who is to reject the Lord have his representatives rule.
Yeah, and the result of that is the relationship between you and the seed at that point is enmity.
Right.
Right.
And so we're going to watch these two sides play out. And so the one who blesses you, who aligns with the promise to you, I will bless ultimately through resurrection, and they will get all that was lost at the fall. And they translate it, the one who curses you, I will curse. And it makes it sound like those are the same words, when actually they're not. They're actually two different words that are being used here in verse 3. The ones who kalal you, I will arar. Those who treat you as insignificant is small or insignificant. Mm-hmm. Those who don't regard you, now why would they treat him as well? Because he's not, he has no relevance to anything. He's
right. He doesn't have a name for himself.
There's no salvation in him. He's not any, he has no meaning. Oh no, all of the meaning of this story is bound up in this person who's the carrier of the seed. He's not insignificant. He's not small. And so those who don't regard the promise to Abram and align with it will be cursed. Mm-hmm. They will not be blessed. They will not experience resurrection. They will not, the ones who will be, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And so verse 4, so Abram went forth, or that's how they translate it, went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. He walked, verse 4, and Abram walked just as the Lord spoke to him, and Lot walked with him. And so this walking language, Lot goes with him. I've heard people teach, Abram shouldn't have taken Lot with him, because of, leave your family, your relatives, it's not leave your relatives, it's leave those who begot you, that is your father's house, and go to a land which I will show you. And the purpose is so that all the families of the earth shall be blessed, except for Lot. Lot, you stay behind and good luck. Hope it works out. No, that's nonsense. In fact, the language of that's going to come in the next chapter, and we'll point this out next time, is Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the valley was Tov. And you're going, oh no. It's the same language, right? Yeah. And so that's, what Lot should have done at that point. Again, we'll say this next week, is he should have probably said what Ruth says later, where you go, I go, your people, my people, your God, my God. And where you die, I die. Nothing separate me from you. I'm staying with you.
Yeah, that's good.
But So Abram went forth or walked as according to the word of the Lord, and Lot walked with him. And Abram was 75 years old, and he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all the possessions and all they'd accumulated, and all the persons which were acquired in Haran, and set out for the land of Canaan. And thus they came to the land of Canaan. And Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem. Now pay attention to all these sites. Shechem, to the oaks of Moreh. These are going to be sites that we're going to see again and again and again through this story. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your seed I will give the land. So he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him, and he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on his east and Bethel on the west, I on the east. And he built an altar to the Lord, and he called upon the name of the Lord. And this goes back to chapter 4. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. So this language, you're going to see this all throughout the story. Mm-hmm. And so when Abram is halaking, when he's walking, he's doing just fine. But then he journeys. What they were doing back, journeys. This journeying word is what they did back in chapter 11. They journeyed east. And went toward the Negev. And there was a famine in the land. So Abram went down to Egypt to live there, for the famine was severe. And this is the setting, the template for what's going to happen later in the story. Remember, this story is being told by Moses to Israel coming out of the Exodus, and how the family got down there later. In this story, there was a famine in the land, and so the brothers leave the land to go down to Egypt. Later in the story, in per covenant, they were not to leave the land. And you say, well, why not? Well, the promise was in the land. The promise was always in the land. Go to the land which I will show you. And so he was so moved by this promise in the land that as soon as a famine shows up, off he goes, right? He heads down to Egypt, and it came about when he came near Egypt that he said to Sarai, his wife, see now, I know that you are a beautiful woman. This is not the Tov language. This is Pane, I believe. And it will come about that when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they'll let you live. Well, again, he's not putting much trust in the promise. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing, and you, all the families of earth, will be blessed. He's certainly not fearing the Lord. He's fearing the nations. I mean, there's so much wrong here. He's rejecting Genesis 2:24, a promise to him as a promise to Sarah, and that's going to play out later. So he says, say that you are my sister, so that it may go well, is how they translate it. So that it may go well, may go tov, on account of you. No, it's going to go tov for him on account of the Lord, not on account of Sarah. That I may live on account of you. No, you're going to live because of the seed that's coming from you and from promise, Sarah, not because Pharaoh was nice to you. Everything about this is wrong, right? Per the plot, right? And so if you're tracking the storyline, if you're tracking, he's not doing great here. And it came about when Abram came into Egypt. And this, why does Israel need to hear this story? Because they need to know who to fear and who not to fear, how to walk faithfully and how not to walk faithfully. So it came about when Abram came into Egypt, the Egyptians saw that she was beautiful, and Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Therefore, he treated Abram well on account of her, right? And so this, so in some sense,
His plan worked,
right? Yeah. It's going tov, the wrong tov, right? It's going good. It's going well, not ultimately, but temporally, right? And there's going to be a contrast here. So he treated Abraham tov, or well, for her sake, and he gave him sheep and oxen and donkeys and male and female servants and all this stuff. And I hear people say, well, the Lord blessed, the Lord, that's the content of the blessing. I'm going, read it. This is not good. Right.
Well, then that's gonna multiply later in the story as Jacob goes out and gathers all those things for himself.
We're gonna see this same template repeat itself with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the patriarchs, absolutely. Right? And so this went so well that the Lord struck Pharaoh. Right. I will bless those who bless you. If that's the content of the blessing, then this verse, verse 17, 12, 17 should read, and so the Lord blessed Pharaoh and gave him great stuff. No, that's not it. He did not bless Abram. In fact, Abram is the one who's at fault here because of his actions. But the Lord struck Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this you've done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? So I took her for my wife. Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they escorted him away and his wife and all that belonged to him. And so he goes down there. You know, he's got all his stuff. You know, he's coming down there with Lot, with all the stuff that he already has. And then Pharaoh's giving him more stuff. And that this is supposed to be that's not the blessing. In fact, here in two chapters, so 2 weeks, and we'll make this point again in 2 weeks, but it needs to be just introduced here. There's a battle that takes place because Abram's got to go deliver Lot. This will be in chapter 14. Mm-hmm. And the king of Sodom, you know, he wins in battle. And so the king of Sodom is going to come to him and is going to say, give me the people and keep all the stuff for yourself, right? Give me back all my men that you won in battle and you keep all the stuff. Mm-hmm. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I shall not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours, lest you say, I have made Abram rich. Mm-hmm. And so things are changing for Abram as we're going through the story. And through the change, as we watch Abram, the man of faith, the man who left the land of his fathers and go to the land of promise, mm-hmm. As he walks by faith and as his faith is perfected, this is the model mm-hmm. that Israel's supposed to follow. And we're going to watch the same, the same problems, the same shortcomings happen with Isaac, with Jacob. You know, Isaac's going to, try this, sell the wife off as a sister thing. Right. In fact, Abram's not done with that yet. He's going to do that, later in the story as well.
Yeah.
But again, this is in chapter 20 when Abram's going to journey again to the Negev again, right? So the same thing's happening that happened in chapter 12, it's happened in chapter 13, and he's going to run into this king, and he's going to tell Abimelech, the king of Gerar, she is my sister. Mm. And it's the same story, right?
Yeah.
And so we're going to watch these things play out again and again, and this is how narrative literature works. And so so Abram journeys down. He's going to go back up, from Egypt through the Negev. He's going to take his wife and all that belonged to him, and Lot's still with him. This is for next time. Mm-hmm. And Abram was, had a bunch of stuff, and he's going to go back to the same place that was here, mm-hmm. Go to Bethel. He's going to pitch the tent again as he was formerly, and where he called on the name of the Lord. And there's going to be this conflict that's going to come between Abram and Lot, and Lot's going to separate from Abram. But that's next time. That's in chapter 13. And so we'll pick that up the next time in the story.
Yeah, and that's really helpful. It's exciting. This story gets really good. Not that it wasn't already, but one of the tensions that I think people, as I've been teaching the story, that people get into is, Abraham he's considered righteous. He walked with the Lord by faith, and yet he's doing all these things that are clearly not good.
Right.
Right. And so one of the challenges I think people have is, well, back here, all these other people are doing bad stuff and they're on the wrong team. How is it that Abram is doing all this bad stuff and is righteous?
Yeah. Right. And some will say, well, mm-hmm. that's because he's not righteous yet, mm-hmm. because 15:6 is where it says, then he believed in the Lord and it was reckoned him as righteousness. And we'll talk about that when we get there.
Right.
What I would point out is, well, if he was righteous in chapter 15, not mm-hmm. 12, writer of Hebrews would take issue with that, but we'll leave that aside. chapter 16 is not a great story, mm-hmm. yeah. where he says, okay, let's have a kid through
from
the wife's, maid servant,
right.
a story that's going to be repeated later. with Jacob in both the Rachel and Leah, mm-hmm. You know, are going to do the same thing. And so, so again, we're not there yet. Right. We're not there in chapter 20. Mm-hmm. You know, when he does the same thing in chapter 20, as we were talking about, which he did back in chapter 12, you know, sells his wife off as his sister. It's not till chapter 21 and 22, where he, you know, it's kind of the last scene really that we get with Abram, mm-hmm. at least that where he's doing stuff. He's going to do in chapter 25, where he's going to have another wife, more kids. Mm-hmm. Basically, the way those chapters happen is he finally figures it out. He has a son, Isaac, the one that was, you know, we've been waiting for in the story. And then he's willing to sacrifice Isaac. Isaac, the Lord provides a substitute. We're going to get to all this, but we want to, you know, just kind of send the dozer out ahead and bulldoze some of the stuff so that you kind of know what's coming. And so the Lord provides a substitute. So now Isaac, Abraham knows, and the reader knows. I mean, obviously the reader knows because you know, they're still rolling along. But Abraham knows, Abraham now knows that Isaac is not the son of promise. And so now the story is focused on Isaac, mm-hmm. right? Because in chapter 23, Sarah dies. And so mm-hmm. this is the only son from Abraham and Sarah.
Yeah.
And so now it's Isaac. And so, well, what do we need to get for Isaac? Well, we need a wife, right? Yeah. So chapter 24, Isaac gets a wife, goes back to that family that we talked about last time in chapter 11. And then Abraham had remarried other sons and daughters, mm-hmm. Kicks them all out of the land. So there's only one son in the land with the promise. He has a wife, and she's barren, mm-hmm. right? And that's going to take you into the next the next story. And right. Ruin the story here, but she has twins. <That's right. laughs> and so the story is going to continue right through all these sections. Yeah. And so every part of the story mm-hmm. is developing the plot, moving it from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, introducing details into the story that are going to show up later in the story in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and even later in Israel's history. And we're going to see that as we play along in this story. So when you're watching this quote movie, mm-hmm. keep watching.
Yeah.
Don't forget this scene. Don't go in there, principalize it, right. get some, you know, teaching application, preaching application for your life. It kind of serves as a application container, right? Mm-hmm. There's a little story to get your theological application. Right. Once you get the application, application, then throw the container away because you don't need it anymore. No, mm-hmm. no. Keep that story because that story is going to be used in the development of the plot. You're going to need to know all the information that's in this story.
Yeah.
And so we'll help you with it as we continue down the trail of Genesis.
That's good. Awesome. Well, yeah, like you said, we're going to keep on moving through these stories with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We're going to see how this all develops, and don't chop it up. Keep it rolling. Keep paying attention till the end. Until we get to the end, don't start theologizing too soon, right?
Right.
That's know right. the whole movie. And then you can go start making conclusions based on the ending. And
there you go.
Anyway, we'll pick up next week with chapter 13. We'll see you then.
For more resources, visit teachmethebible.com or download our app from any app store. You can partner with Teach Me the Bible in helping the people of God understand the Word of God by subscribing and sharing with others. Thank you for listening to Teach Me the Bible podcast.